The Holy Spirit's responsibility primarily is to live through us, that is to express through you and me, the life of Christ. He says the Spirit never glorifies Himself. He never speaks of Himself. But the Spirit of God has the responsibility of living through us the life of Christ. So if someone was to say to you or to ask you this question, what is a Spirit-filled Christian? What is one who is experiencing this exchange life? What is one who is experiencing the abiding life? A Christian, that is, the Spirit-filled Christian is one in whom the Holy Spirit is living and abiding, and through whom the Holy Spirit is expressing the life, listen, the work and the character of God. That is the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the Spirit. So that it is not what you and I are doing, it is what He does through you and me. Does that mean that the Christian life is to be passive? That we're to sit by and say, well, just let God do it? No. And every once in a while, somebody will say, well, you Christians who believe, all you have to do is just abide. All you have to do is just be Spirit-filled. You don't do anything, just sit around and being abiding. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus sit around? Indeed not. Was He passive? Indeed not. But here's the difference. The difference is this. Jesus Christ did not work out of human energy. Jesus Christ worked out of divine energy. He is the absolute perfection of the very expression of the Spirit-filled life. He says, I can do nothing apart from the Father. Jesus drew all of His wisdom and all of His knowledge here on this earth from the Father. All of His energy and all of His strength was that of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that when He came back from the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, that He, under the anointing of the Spirit of God, He says the Spirit of God had anointed Him to preach the gospel. So His service was all an expression of the Spirit of God. And so when He said to His apostles, He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, if I go away, I'm going to send you a helper. He'll be in you, with you, and upon you. That is, He'll be the one who does it through you. So if you're one of those believers who said, you know, I wondered what in the world was going on in my life. I'm so discouraged because I don't seem to be able to live the Christian life, and I lose my temper. Every once in a while I say something I shouldn't say. I'm not always absolutely and totally honest. I don't always treat people the way I should. I don't read my Bible oftentimes. I skip praying. I don't go to church as I ought to. I'm not interested in winning anybody to Jesus Christ. I'm not interested in introducing anybody to Him. I don't give anything so that somebody else can maybe be saved. And oftentimes my life is just one big disaster after the other. But I do have trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know He's there, and I cry out to Him in times of need. But, oh God, what's wrong with my life? I want to tell you, the same thing that was wrong with mine and is wrong with so many people. In your effort, you cannot do it. I'm saying all that to say, if you're going through one of those difficult, dry, barren times in your Christian life, and you feel like God doesn't care, nobody else cares, and you've blown it 10,000 times, cheer up. Because you don't have to stay like that. You don't have to live like that. And you see in this passage, he says, the believer's relationship is the secret of the whole Christian life. That we rest and abide and remain. That is, we just depend upon Him. Now, dependence upon Him means for everything. You see, the Spirit-filled life could be defined as a life of absolute dependence and under the total control of the Holy Spirit. If it's Spirit-filled, He's in control. If Christ is my life and I'm drawing everything from Him, then He's in charge. You see, our major problem, and every single one of us, it's the same. Sometimes it's ignorance, but most of the time for most of us, it's the same. We refuse to submit totally and completely and absolutely. We want to reserve something for ourselves. But He says, how do you abide? You just trust in Him, live in Him, rest in Him. And he says, the life of the vine will be your life and mine, providing everything. When it rains and the sun shines and all the rest, up from those roots, through those roots, that sap comes into the branch and produces. And what he's simply saying is this, the fruit of the Christian life, that is godly character and godly works, are not my responsibility. My responsibility is what? Twofold, to rest in Him, and to trust Him to do in me, through me, for me, and to me, what only He can do. No one else can do it for us. So, you see, he says, this whole idea of abiding is a relationship. The second thing I want you to notice here is this. What is the very purpose of a grapevine? The purpose of the grapevine is not beauty. If you want something that's beautiful, what about roses or some other plant, but certainly not a grapevine? What is the purpose of the grapevine? To produce grapes. Now look at this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. So if you'll notice, he says fruit, more fruit. And if you look in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I him, he bears much fruit. And then again in verse 8, by this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So what do you have? You have fruit, more fruit, much fruit. So what is his purpose? His purpose is fruit. Now, look, if you will, in verse 2 again. Every branch in me, and if you're saved, you are in him, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, you've wondered oftentimes when you were doing your best in your Christian life, or maybe when you weren't doing your best. And it's like God just begins to, you can hear him sharpening up the pruning knife. You can see it coming. Haven't you seen times when you thought, Lord, I see trouble coming. I know it's coming. I don't like it. There's nothing I can do about it. It's just like he's just pruning. He's just sharpening up the pruning knife. Let me remind you of two things about that. Every time he prunes you, you know what he does? He dips that pruning knife in love. He never prunes us except because he loves us. That's the only reason. Secondly, God limits all of his pruning. He's never cut anybody back too far. And you see, the reason for the pruning is, if you let a tree or a plant just keep on growing and going without any pruning, it has little shoots and little sprouts coming out. And before long, the quality of the fruit begins to diminish. And you don't have anything worthy of picking and worthy of eating. And so pruning is an absolute essential process to good fruit. Now you think about this. What is it that results in the greatest qualities of our life? What is it that produces those characteristics that are most like Christ? It isn't ease, comfort, and pleasure and plenty. Hardship, trial, difficulty, adversities of every type. Those things that drive us to the Word and drive us to our knees, drive us to God. That's like God's pruning knife. He disciplines us. He chastises us. He allows things into our life that have nothing to do with sin. He allows situations and circumstances in our life that has no link to sin whatsoever. And we say, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to me? And our first response is, what have I done? What about the past? That has nothing to do with that oftentimes. I'm not saying it always doesn't, but oftentimes it doesn't. Here's what it is. It is God sending adversities into our life. He sees those times when we are not kind, and we're not patient, and we're not under self-control, and we're not being good. He sees those times when we're not acting in love. We don't have joy, and we don't have peace, and we're blaming ourselves, or criticizing others, or we just disgruntled with God, or whatever it might be. So what does he do? He just sharpens it up. And what he does is he sends into your life and my life those experiences that are necessary to get us back to him, repenting of our sin, change of attitude, and what happens? Then the quality of that fruit begins to what? It begins to be not only beautiful, but more luscious and tasty and more appealing. And you see, the greatest thing God's got going on this life for glorifying himself is not church buildings, but church members, saints. We're the only ones who can express the character of God. And that is the purpose of the fruit. He says, if you're abiding in me and I'm abiding in you, he says, you'll bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit, much fruit. He says, you want to see the Father glorified? Much fruit. What is he talking about? He's talking about joy and peace and love and kindness and gentleness. That is, that other people could see and feel and sense in us the character of God. And so the Spirit's responsibility is to do what? Is to release through us the life of Christ. Listen to this now. You can't work it up. You see, trying to be good and trying to be patient and trying to be loving and trying to have peace, it isn't trying. It's trusting him, relying upon him, resting in him, acknowledging, God, I can't. And so we don't have to feel guilty by saying, God, I can't handle this. God says, amen, that's what I'm waiting for. I know you can't. But he says, I can. And he says, I've already provided for that. So, look at this. He says, verse 5. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Now, the wisest place to come to in the Christian life. And I wish somebody had set me down as 12 years of age and said, now look, I want to explain this until you understand it. How grateful I would have been. I wouldn't have spent so many years of my life trying to be something I couldn't and do something God never intended me to do and produce fruit that I can tell you even till today I can't. My flesh, just like your flesh, is just as real today as it ever has been. And there's not a single verse in the Scripture says that I'm ever going to improve. That is, nowhere in the Bible does it say you're going to improve and improve and improve and improve and improve and improve and improve. With age and knowledge, you'll improve. You know what? The old Charles Stanley's the same he was when he was 12, only worse. But there's somebody inside of me, thank God. Listen, he's the same as he was the day he entered at the age of 12, and he won't be any different if I live to be 85 or 100. He won't change a bit. You know what? The old Charles Stanley won't change a bit anyway because that's the way it is. It isn't that we change. It's that we learn to allow Christ, who lives on the inside of us, to release Himself through us through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is a life of the expression of the life and the character of Christ, so that our works are an overflow of the life of Christ. The way we treat other people, the way we think about things is an overflow of the life of Christ with us. That's what being filled with the Spirit is all about. That's being under the control and the domination of the Spirit. So that what does He take away? Worry and fretting and strain and efforts. And I can tell you, every time I find myself in a strain about something, I just have to get on my knees. I know what to do. Get on my knees, confess it to God, and just reaffirm who I am in Him and who He is in me. You say, that's so simple. Let me ask you a question. Why would God make it difficult? I mean, why would God want to make it difficult? I don't know of how Jesus could have explained this more graphic than to say, you want to know what the Christian life's all about? Go out and check yourself out of a grapevine. And what you'll see is that all the branches is being real quiet. They're just living off the vine. But look at that bunch of grapes. And you see, the branch didn't do it. It was the vine that did it. Every single one of us has within us the Holy Spirit, who is absolutely unlimited in His power. That means that every single one of us is equipped with all the spiritual power we need to live out this life and to do whatever God calls you to do. As a mother in your home, or as a businessman in your business, or preaching the gospel, it doesn't make a difference what you're doing. There, all the power, all the energy, all the strength, all the might, all that you need to be and to do what God has called you to do is yours within. It isn't something you've got to work up. It is a matter of allowing Him to live out through you who He is already on the inside of you. Now, you know, people who are legalistic in their faith, they have sets of laws and sets of rules they go by, and they chalk them off, and they do these things, they do those things to please God. You know what the problem with that is? First of all, it's not scriptural, and secondly, it won't work. It can't work. You know what that is? Listen, if that would work, then the flesh is sufficient. The flesh is, that is, the old carnal self. That is the part of you that is apart from God. It won't work. He says, you want to know how to live? This is how you live. You trust in Me. You rely upon Me. You draw from Me what you need. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 2 from the Living Bible says, just as you trusted Christ the Savior, look at this. Trust Him too for each day's problems. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him and keep on growing in the Lord. Then Paul says, for you are complete in Christ. The power to achieve, the power to accomplish, the power to obey, it is all here. Whether you're 16 or 96, it doesn't make any difference. Listen to me carefully. You listening? The flesh isn't going to change, and the Spirit's not going to change. What changes is my willingness to surrender myself unquestionably, wholeheartedly, completely, to the Holy Spirit who lives within me to allow him to express his life through me wherever I am in life. It is a decision that you make to allow the Spirit of God to now be in control of your life and allow him to express that godly character. Allow him to work through you the works. Whether it's in your business or whether it's in your home or whether it's in your church, it doesn't make any difference. God is just as interested in you and your business as he is you at church. You mean to tell me that on the assembly line I can expect the Holy Spirit to aid me? Exactly. You mean to tell me that in my home, changing dirty diapers and washing dishes and scrubbing the floor, that the Spirit of God's in that? Absolutely. You say, what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Everything. Because you see, he didn't say that just certain people are to abide. Everybody. If you're abiding in me, and I'm abiding in you. Listen to this. What a wonderful promise. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. Because you see, if I'm looking to him and depending upon him, I'm going to ask the right thing. And God is going to supply that need. Which means that for every difficulty, that is every struggle that you and I have in our Christian life, every single struggle that you and I have in our Christian life, we're going to have the courage to deal with it. And every single time of duty that we have, we'll have the strength to take care of that. He's going to supply every single need. My fretting, and I can tell you after all these years, my trying has never worked because God never intended for it to work. Don't underestimate what God will do in your life if you just give up and stop trying to hold on and have it your way. Just let God have it his way. You put your full trust in God, you won't always measure up to your expectations. I'm sure I've stumbled. And there are times when I failed. And you know what? Doesn't make any difference as long as I did what God said. Because you see, some failure is good for us. It keeps us humble in our spirit. Some failure is good for us. It drives us deep into the things of God. And I'm not going to say to you, if you walk in the Spirit, that everything's going to be just like you think it ought to be. No. But let me ask you this. What's the alternative? Depending upon yourself? Haven't we all had enough of that? Haven't we all had enough of old self? Haven't we failed enough and long enough that now it's time to give up? Listen, please, in Jesus' name, don't ignore this sermon. If you do, you're going to spend your life needlessly with difficulty and hardship that you don't need to go through. If you can just remember, if you'll just rest in him, depend upon him, rely upon him, and draw what you need from him. And how do you do that? It is this simple. You go to work tomorrow morning, and something comes up, and you just say, well, I just want to thank you, Lord, that I have your life, and you said you would respond, so I'm going to trust you to respond through me. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be amazed at what things you say. You're going to think, where did that come from? You're going to be amazed at how you respond to hardship, difficulty, criticism. You're going to begin to be amazed at the peace that you can have when people hurt you, persecute you, try you. You're going to be amazed at the rest that you can have on the inside and the struggle, even when everything around you is falling apart. Listen to me, friend. Why keep struggling and straining and killing yourself over something that I can tell you is not going to ever change? Listen, you're not going to do it. So why don't you give up? And this is one time that surrender means victory. When you surrender everything to Jesus Christ and tell him, God, not only do I lay down my sins, but I lay down all of my self-effort to do what you never said I can do. Father, we love you and praise you. And we thank you for the wonderful Spirit-filled life. Whether we call it abiding or whether we call it exchange, we know it's your life in us through the Holy Spirit. And my prayer today is that every single listener will be wise enough to acknowledge that if Jesus Christ said, I can't, I can't. And if Jesus Christ said he would, he will. And if he said, it's not my strength, it's not. If he said, it's his power than it is. We love you and praise you for your absolute, complete, and total provision for all that we are and all that we need.